The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, November 19, 2017. Hour 2, broadcasting live from the studios of WGBB 1240, West Babylon, New York. Gary Harding with you in the studio. Brian Gray is, of course, on the other side of the glass. I am alone in the studio tonight. Usually there's two or three guys here with me, but tonight I am alone. But my co-host, John Panarese, is live from Western New York, and he joins us on Sports Talk 1240. John, how's it going, buddy?
Good. How's it going? How's everything?
All right. Everything's good here. Is it nice and cold up in Buffalo?
Oh, just lovely. We had a little bit of snow this morning and sleet. It's, you know, just the typical Western New York.
Hey, happy holidays. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Yes. Thank you.
So on this second hour of Sports Talk 1240, it's going to be John and I on the whole hour. In a few minutes, we're going to have Paul Kreischer from Isles Talk joining us to discuss the weekend's festivities. And John, it was a tale of 2 days.
Very strange. They looked so good playing the best team in the NHL, arguably with only two regulation losses, and they beat them. They go into Tampa and beat the Lightning, and they go to Carolina, and I don't know. I think the wake-up call didn't really come.
You know, it's funny, especially with the history that the Islanders have against the Carolina Hurricanes, and I didn't know about this until the third period of the game when I actually heard it on Chris King's broadcast. Cam Ward, all-time career record against the New York Islanders, including the win today, 23-4-5.
That's amazing, though. I thought I read that or heard that somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, people are, of course, on the Facebook boards and everything already are going ballistic on Halak, you know. You know, yeah, I don't think he looked as sharp as he should have looked. He doesn't look like the guy who is supposed to be your number one and should be your number one goaltender. But, you know, he didn't have that great of a day. You can't blame the fact that they flew into Carolina, got in late at night. Carolina came in late at night because they were up in Buffalo the night before.
Yeah, they beat Buffalo the night before 3-1, so they were under the same circumstances, so you can't say that, you know. And I don't know, I just was expecting a little bit more. I thought the momentum would continue, especially after beating Tampa. I mean, it was a little nail-biter in the third period, but they still came out victorious, and I thought it would be the same thing tonight, but I guess not.
Yeah, and you think, you know, especially from the prior three games, you know, a three-game win streak, you know, after the clunker in Dallas, they go out and they beat the St. Louis Blues. They beat Carolina 6-4. King were down 4-3 after having a 3-1 lead. Come back, get three goals in the third. Things look good. They go into Tampa. They do the job there, get that 4-0 lead. Yeah, Tampa came out pretty strong in the last couple of minutes, but, you know, I put that more to, you know, Tampa being the number one team in the NHL as opposed to what could have, you know, broken down with the Islander team. But
right,
so you
right.
figure they're coming in strong. They got a chance, you know, albeit a little chance, but a chance to go move into first place in the division. Okay. You know, would you have thought that at this point when we were talking in the beginning of October that we would?
No.
Exactly. No. So, I mean, they had their opportunities and didn't come down. And we got our guest on the line, so we'll bring him on board. He's a good friend of both John and I. He took over for John and I running the Isles Talk blogosphere, and the man is Paul Kreischer calling from northeastern Pennsylvania. Paul, Gary, and John, how you feeling?
What's going on, guys?
How you feeling?
I was better a few hours ago, but... You know, this one stung a little bit, but it wasn't too bad.
A lot of the comments that I saw were, you know, Cam Ward just played his tail off. And,
absolutely.
And he always, it's amazing how a goaltender can always have such an amazing record against one particular team. And it doesn't matter what the makeup of the team is. It's just in its entire, you know, 13-year career in the NHL that he's owned this Islander franchise.
Yeah, well, that record is just I didn't even know that record, and I'm like, oh my God. So, I realized Carolina was playing the night before, and I figured, okay, Cam Ward, the backup, hasn't played in a while. And then they show that number on the screen, and it's like an instant mood killer. I'm like, oh no, like, what are we getting ourselves into? And sure enough, he stood on his head. He practically did a backhand glove save on John Tavares.
Oh, in the third period, yeah.
In the third period, I mean, he really wasn't even looking. It looked like something like Derek Jeter pulled out when he was playing, and he realized he had it, and he just threw it away like it was nothing. It's like, oh, demoralizes, why don't you?
It was so second nature. Ah, no big deal.
Yeah.
Just throw it away.
Oh, heartbreaking, but.
Okay, but let's, again, we are almost at the quarter pole. Well, yeah. You figure 20 and a half games is the quarter pole, so they're there. 11-7-2, 24 points, fourth place, 1 point behind the three-way tie that is New Jersey, Columbus, and Pittsburgh. One game in hand, two games in hand on Pittsburgh, even with Columbus, one game over with New Jersey. Obviously, New Jersey is just an incredible story. You're just wondering when the sales are going to come out of that team from past experiences, but... Would you consider yourself satisfied, above satisfied, below satisfied?
Slightly above satisfied, and I'll tell you why. Because the Islanders last year, for the first 20 games, they pretty much almost played themselves out of the playoffs. I forget their record, but I believe they were like 4. And I just had it like 6-10-4.
I can help you at least, but I know at the end of November last year, the Islanders only just got their eighth win.
Yeah.
So they have 11 now.
Yeah. That is definitely the plus. The downside, the reason why I'm not completely satisfied, is that the Islanders have given away points.
Yeah.
To a lot, from what I'm calling a lot of brain fart decisions from the players during the games. And they've cost the Islanders a couple of points. And then you have what a lot of the Islanders media have been calling the WA blow-ups, where the Islanders just don't show up for these games, and it's like 5-0, 6-1, or whatnot. And you wonder, where would the Islanders be right now if the Islanders actually showed up for these games? So I'm happy with the start. I would be ecstatic if we saw a little more effort from the Islanders through the first 20 games. I'm satisfied. I'm above satisfied, but I'm not. I want more from them. I'm expecting more now.
I mean, you figure. I think the stat came out the other day after the Dallas game. I think, what are they, like 8-0?
Yeah, 8-0 after Dougie goes, after they get blown out on the weight.
Right.
Yeah.
So that says something. So I mean, you have to figure the team was on such a high last night, getting on the plane in Tampa after the game. But and Dougie's going to be the guy to say, look, don't take these guys so lightly. Don't take these guys so lightly. And I don't think they did per se. Just forget the score, forget what happened, forget the goaltending situation. I don't think they necessarily played a horrible game. But there was just some sequences in that effort that, just make you just want to, like, smack somebody in the back of the head and say, snap out of it.
Right. Well, this was not, I agree with that. This was not a Ranger meltdown, the game after a Ranger game where the Islanders completely meltdown because they were tired from the night before. The Islanders did put in some effort here. And, yes, there was some puck luck involved with Carolina. We said before, Cam Ward was standing on his head. But the Islanders... it did take them a little while to get their feet going, but in the second period, I thought they dominated the second period.
Yeah, they did. They outshot them.
Outskated them. Definitely winning puck battles in the corners, making smart decisions. But again, as we said, Cam Ward was a difference.
Yeah, and I'll go one step further here. The only gripe I have about that second period was that the Islanders kept making that extra pass that didn't need to be made, and they should have been shooting the puck more. Other than that, I thought the Islanders were the better team that period. I thought they came back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, again, we look at the standings. Again, we talked about that. We look at the individuals. I mean, You know where I think you may know where I'm going, but would you ever in your wildest dreams looked at the team's roster of stats and say that someone other than number 91 could have been leading the team in points?
See, now if I don't mention his name, your wife's just going to come after me.
I'm not putting my bias in it, but honestly, I mean, we all know that I defend Josh up and down, left and right, side to side.
Right.
You know, and I did expect an improvement from last year. Obviously, and last year was a career year, but I mean, there's no way we could have expected the fact that he would be over a point a game, and to mention the fact that he did not start on the first line to begin the year, and was doing a point a game before that.
No, he's played awesome hockey. In my opinion, I think he's been one of the most consistent and best everyday players we've had through, you know, the first 20 games.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
You know, quite truthfully, I thought 56 points from Josh last year was going to be his career high. I did not expect Bailey to be on the first line with John Tavares this year. What I was hoping for was maybe another 50-point season with Andrew Ladd on the left-wing side and, you know, Barzal or Nelson on the second line. But we didn't know how Matthew Barzal was going to be. But Josh Bailey moves up to the first line. Why? Because there's already chemistry there with Lee and Tavares. And, Gary, you hit it right on the nose. He and John as well, he's been the most consistent Islander.
Mm-hmm.
He's racking up points no one ever could have believed. And I said this on Twitter, and I got rocked for this one by a couple of Bailey haters. If Josh Bailey happens to sign a 5-year deal extension with the Islanders, because he's only 28.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 28, so he's going to be done with his contract if he resigns as a 33-year-old. He could put up bare minimum 50 points with John Tavares for the next 5 seasons, and at the end of it all, he could end up somewhere in the top 10 all-time on the Islanders scoring list.
Wouldn't that be a kick?
Yeah, I should have worn my jersey tonight. Sorry, guys.
He's that close, guys.
Yeah.
Now, granted, points are points. You know, has he been scoring a lot of goals? No, but the guy's on
right now. Right. That's the next question I was going to get at, Paul, and you stole my thunder a little bit, because you're looking at the stat sheet. He's one of the lowest on the team in shots.
Yeah.
He's got 4 goals, 19 assists, but he's only got 26 shots as opposed to, say, 57. This is before the game tonight. So 57 for Tavares, 45 for Lee, 38 for Barzal, 48 for Letty, 46 for Eberle. So you're talking he never was a shooter. Look who he played with in junior. Who was he setting up for in junior? Taylor Hall in Windsor.
Correct.
So he was never meant to be a goal scorer, and everybody's expecting, you know, everybody
people
says...
People don't get that. If they look at his career in the juniors, he was never going to be, you know, a 30, 40, 50 goal scorer.
Exactly.
But what threw us all off, John, was that he ended up scoring 20 goals his rookie season. So we were all expecting more out of Josh. It's like, okay, 20 goal center, you know, first line, maybe second line, a la Dougie Waite, you know, because Dougie Waite was on the team at the time. Maybe there's a little bit of, you know, there's more to Josh than what we thought, but he hasn't hit that 20-goal plateau since. He's come close, but he is more the pass first than he is the goal scorer. But points are points.
Right.
I don't care if it's a goal, primary assist or secondary assist. The point is a point.
Right. Okay. Let's just change gears. I got it out of my system. I feel good. I was going to have a rant in the second half hour, but I think we'll let it go through this. Okay. Here's another question that has come up a lot, and I'm curious on your take on both of this.
Okay.
Jason Chimera, 20 games, no goals. Now he's, I grant the guy has put effort out there constantly. He's only a minus one, which means he's not been, you know, a negative factor as far as his play. But I think part of the reason why he's out there is, yes, he's an experienced guy. He's also on a 200-plus game consecutive game streak, which you don't like to take guys out for when they're playing bad. But let me ask you, putting yourself in Doug Waite's shoes, how far do you let him go if this continues?
Oh, that's a great question. And he's only played a couple of games with Casey Cizikas. I would absolutely keep him with Casey Cizikas for a little while longer. It's not much longer. Chimera was not doing well when either Beauvillier or Nelson were centering him.
Right.
And we'll get into that subject a little later on, but their puck possession numbers were absolutely atrocious. And all of a sudden, Jason Chimera, who is with Casey Cizikas now, who has much better possession numbers, his plus-minus is now starting to go on the rise. So the effort is there from Chimera. The overall game from him is better for now with Casey Cizikas as his center, but he has to start scoring goals. I don't know if I get into Christmas.
No, I kind of agree there. John, you're on the same wavelength?
Yeah. I mean, you know, in his defense, he did start off slow last season. But, you know, the other flip side of the coin is, you know, we got younger players and people not in the lineup, and he's not doing anything right now, you know. So, yeah, I agree. You know, Christmas, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other thing, just changing gears again, is just another thing that I'm looking at on the screen, and it didn't take place, obviously, in the first 8 to 9 games of the season, but it has been a bigger factor as the season has gone by, is the defensive contribution. Obviously, Nick Leddy has had a great, great 20 games, 15 points right now. Possibility you might have to look at him as an all-star player.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
If Nick Leddy keeps going, I'm going to go a step further, and I think he has to be at least in the Norris Trophy conversation.
Because he does average. I mean, he is a definite, you know, a three-stage defenseman. Does block shots, plays well on the penalty kill. Obviously, the power play, great shot from the point, and he's not afraid to pinch. And that's,
no, he's not. Go ahead.
And I think that kind of play has pushed into some of the others. Pellick, I think, has done, except for a couple of hiccups here or there, has played quite well. +6. I mean, no goals yet, but I think his game has definitely moved up astronomically, which is keeping guys like Scott Mayfield and Dennis Seidenberg on the bench.
Pellick has always been one of those quiet, keeps his game simple kind of defensemen. And the more games he plays, the better he's going to get. And at some point, he is going to get that notoriety. He's kind of like that Stefan person where everyone knew who Denny Poffin was, but, you know, if you weren't growing up in the time, you didn't really know who Poffin's line mate was until you realized it was Stefan Persson. That's who Adam Pellick's going to be. Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock are probably going to be a future pairing together, and you're going to see Pulock rack up more numbers, and that's who people always remember. Pellick is going to be on that quiet side, do your job. If he hits an overtime goal in the playoffs, he'll have Kenny Morrow status, but I like Pellick's game. It's quiet, it's simple, and he reminds me of Stefan Persson.
I never thought about that correlation. That's actually very good.
I didn't think of that either.
And I mean, obviously, you know, you're saying Pulock will, I think he will improve right now. I mean, he's only playing 15 minutes a game. It's where you expect him to be at this level of his career, I think, with more confidence and more, you know, more better games.
He had one hiccup tonight, and, you know, it did cost him a goal, but those, you know, that's a learning curve. That's going to happen for right now. Truthfully, though, I would like to see Scott Mayfield in for Pulock just over the next couple of games. And I like what I've seen out of Pulock, but I need a little more energy when going up against Philadelphia, and that's where Scott Mayfield comes into play.
There's no question about that. You need to bring a physical game for that, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Absolutely.
Obviously, you know, with the injury to Nikolai Kuhlman out for the season, Josh Hosang comes back. So.
Slightly better. I think, at least when I see Josh Hosang, he's kind of looking at Matthew Barzal and say, if he can do that, I can do that. And I think the players are just, they're in on Hosang more than they are Barzal, because I think Barzal's still faster than Hosang. Hosang is trying to do too much, and he just has to, A, listen to Doug Waite and the coaching staff, but B, more importantly, just let the game come to him. If he lets the game come to him, you're going to see more multi-point games out of him in the near future. He's just got to bring it down a little bit and stop thinking so much.
Let me just put this opinion on you guys, and let me see what you think. To me, when you look, just without knowing who they are, just looking at the style of the two players as they're bringing the puck from either from behind the net or from the blue line up into the offensive zone, I see a very similar kind of player. But the thing that draws them apart, to me, it looks like Matthew Barzal is looking, and again, this is where I think you make a difference between most excellent hockey players and the average hockey player, is I think Matt Barzal looks two steps ahead of a situation as opposed to Josh Hosang, which is looking at the now.
I love that. I love that. That's perfect.
Johnny Gray?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny because I've been trying to kind of come up with a way, because it's like we were having this discussion, me and my brother, about the two of them and how Barzal sort of came and sort of stole the thunder away a bit from Hosang after Hosang's, you know, arrival last season. But that's a really good way of putting it.
And, you know, it's funny, too. There was somebody did a Twitter video, and they talked about, or they showed a video of the NHL draft when Barzal got drafted. And the Boston Bruins had the 13th, 14th, mm-hmm. and 15th pick of the draft. And every time they showed a picture of each pick, they put in between a picture of Vince McMahon, like, looking funny, making him a funny look. And then all of a sudden you see the trade, and you see the Islanders with Matthew Barzal, and the final picture is Vince McMahon falling off his chair. I mean, that was just the most funniest thing, because I can't, and Peter Chiarelli was the one that did that. And then they pulled the deal with Ryan Strome. It's like, I don't know what Garth Snow... Does Garth Snow have any video of Chiarelli in some, like, uncompromising position?
Gary and John know that I follow the draft for Isles Talk. I do my own...
Mock draft
and everything else, and every once in a while, I hit it right on the money. With Griffin Reinhart, with that trade, he was done... He had just completed his first year in Bridgeport, and he had, I believe, 21 points in 60 games, which isn't bad for a rookie defenseman who is supposed to be a stay-at-home defenseman at the AHL level. Reinhardt's stock was about as high as it was going to get. The trade itself wasn't bad. What really hindered Griffin Reinhart and his career path was sending him down to Bakersfield, which is the Edmonton Oilers minor league squad,
mm-hmm.
because, to my knowledge, the only Edmonton Oilers defenseman who has ever come out of Bakersfield and actually made it on the Oilers is Darnell Nurse.
Right, and he was a former number one pick as well.
He's a former number one pick. So, you know, had, I think, the development been better down in Bakersfield, I think Reinhart might actually be up now.
Yeah.
I think Reinhart is going to be an NHLer for Vegas next season. But kudos to Garth Snow for making the trade.
Mm-hmm.
And then making that trade, I believe it was Tampa Bay, to pick up Anthony Beauvillier.
The 28th pick, right.
Yeah.
So it's very... again, I think overall, as we've been talking for the past 20 minutes with here with Paul Kreischer of Isles Talk, just to say, looking at the prospects of the next, say, you know, 15 games or so, most of those games are going to be played within the division. Obviously, you got two coming up with Philadelphia back-to-back, Wednesday and Friday in Ottawa. You know, so obviously a tough week ahead for the boys in blue and orange. What would be your as the coach's message to send to these guys for the next, say, 14 days?
Just play a game. Play a game. Play within the system. Play for each other. You know, and that's it. You know, we just beat two of the best teams in the National Hockey League. Play within the system, and we're going to do better than that.
Totally agree. All right, Paul, we're going to let you go here, but we definitely want to give you a plug here, so do your thing.
Okay, you guys can find me on Twitter at @P_Kreischer, and don't forget to find Isles Talk, all one word, islestalk.com, and find us on Facebook at Isles Talk.
And I know you you had told me off the air that you've got a couple of good articles coming up in the next couple of days.
I actually have a week off from work. I've got about 4 or 5 articles ready to go. We're going to talk about the NHL 20 games in. We're going to talk about the Islanders 20 games in. I'm actually going to have a bridge report on the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, specifically on Michael Dal Cole as well. So, yeah, I got a lot of publishing coming up this week, so everyone look for it.
And he gets to go on a road trip Saturday.
Yeah, you and I get to spend the morning with each other Saturday morning because everyone else is going to be sleeping on a bus.
Yeah, we're picking you up at 2:30 in the morning. Remember that.
Yep.
All right, Paul, listen, thanks for coming on last second to join us here on Sports Talk 1240. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, and I will see you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Paul.
I will see you bright and early Saturday morning, my friend.
Guys, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for having me on, and anytime.
All right, take care. All right, Paul Kreischer, that's @P_Kreischer, Kreischer, on Twitter. Again, write some great stuff. We definitely support him, and hope you do too. We're going to take a break. We're going to pay some bills, and John and I are going to come back, and we will take your calls. You want to talk about anything, the Major League Baseball Awards, NFL, hockey, whatever, 631-888-8811 is the number. Gary and John on Sports Talk 1240. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Hang on, John.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your Gust Buster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Okay, and we're back with the second half hour of Sports Talk 1240. Gary Harding here, John Penneris live from the studios in Buffalo, New York. John, you're in Buffalo. Okay, yes. You actually got to see the Sabres lose to the Carolina Hurricanes, you said, last night, 3-2.
Yes.
And then today they had a football game. Well,
they did?
Well, sort of a football game.
Someone had a football game.
Someone had a football
game. I think it was only the
Chargers. Yeah, 54-24. Now, I mean, that usually sounds like a usually when a major college football team plays like outer Mongolia State. What happened up there? Are people up in Buffalo starting to commit suicide at this point?
It's just interesting because the fans up here in Buffalo, they're passionate as anything.
But they are, no doubt.
It's interesting because it's almost like the expectation of the wheels falling off the bus coming at some point. So they make a quarterback change and Peterman proceeds to throw 5 interceptions in the first half.
Yeah.
Five,
yeah.
Tyrod Taylor only threw 3 interceptions the entire season. So, you know.
Now they pulled him out and they took him out to put Peterman in.
Yeah, and they put and at least they got some points back. I think they got 17 points back with Taylor.
Right, because weren't they down like 37-7 at the half?
Yeah, 37-7 at the half. Yeah.
You didn't get to see the Giant game, did you?
I got to see bits of it. I was at Buffalo Wild Wings, and my nephew was kind of, and my brother were giving me sort of updates because they have 8,000 games on at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you really didn't miss much.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I heard that they only touched on and they missed the extra point.
Yep.
They have the lead going into like the last minute of the game, and they blow it, and mm-hmm. the tie goes to overtime.
Yeah, and they win 12-9. I mean, it's
right.
just, you know, I didn't realize it until today. I mean, I know the record was pretty bad, but I heard, you know, if they would have lost, they haven't been 1-9 since 1976.
Yeah,
and I think that goes back to the Joe Pisarcik game against the Eagles where he handed the ball off to nobody. And Herman Edwards gets the touchdown and didn't he punch the goalpost or something like that afterwards?
Yeah.
Something along those lines. So, you know, obviously the Jets had the week off. The New England Patriots won big today out in Mexico City with about 77,000 people watching those gringos play football, and they manhandled the Oakland Raiders, who many in the beginning of the year had them probably go into the Super Bowl. And what are they now, 3-6 or 4-6, something like that? Yeah, it's a really strange year in the NFL. I mean, you know, teams that you expected to go very far. I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to take this call, John. We got Derek on the line.
No, we're not here.
We're not here? No, can't do that. Derek, my man, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you in advance.
Strange year in the NFL.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, teams that you expected.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you turn your radio off?
Yeah, sure will. Yeah, you're getting the feedback.
What's going on?
Is that better?
Much better.
Yes. Good. I want to talk some Giants, some Rangers. They won. Jabanajad had the last goal, empty net. The Rangers are playing so good. Why did they play bad in the last 5 games? You guys have taken my phone calls in the past. I haven't called for 6 months, and I'm always talking about how New York ball is so bipolar. Look at the Knicks. They'll win like 5 games and they'll lose like 8, you know. Look at the Giants this year. I mean, look at the Mets. And why do you think it's like that? It's either heaven and hell. And I think I have a feeling that for the Rangers, they're just getting used to transition. You know, they've got the Swede. They've got a bunch of new guys. But the Giants have no excuse because they beat the best team in football and beat the worst team. So arguably they're the best team in football and they're the worst at the same time. So can you guys give me any insight?
I wish I had a crystal ball, John. You?
No. Well, I do have a crystal ball. I got some theories about it. Of course, we know Spagnuolo sucks this year. I don't know why. He's one of the greatest in defensive history, in my opinion. And McAdoo's not a shabby coach. He had that West Coast offense fired up for about 3 years. And then they all suck at the same time. It's like that with the Mets, too. Think about it. You know? I mean, even going back to the New York Mets with Omar Minaya, for that last year, they just sucked. You know, Willie Randolph era, they just sucked that last year. All of a sudden, they just suck. It's like the law of diminishing returns takes over. You know, some of you people out there, I'm in California, but I grew up in Hicksville, and some people should call up and have some kind of insight on why it's like this.
Well, hey, you could be living in where John is hanging out right now in Buffalo and have 4 straight losses in the Super Bowl.
Let's talk about our teams. Let's talk about our teams. Why is it like this? You know, I mean, the Giants beat a good Denver team. Is it because other teams get slack? That's not true. The Rangers, they've been beating some good teams, you know. And, you know, we know about the injuries between the Mets and the Giants. But you know, you can't really go by that with the Giants because look what they did today, you know. And I have I'm going to talk a little football. If you ever watch when they go in the A-gap off the right guard or the left guard, I love Darkwa. I liked him in college at Tulane. I used to hang out at Tulane like 30 years ago. Why aren't these guys bouncing off? Why aren't they're just going right up the middle into 2,000 pounds, you know? And they use the right man for the wrong play. They're using the wide receivers this year, okay, Lewis Randolph, and when they should be using tight ends, and they're using tight ends when they should be using wide receivers, which is obviously coaching, you know? And I just don't understand why.
With all the injuries the Giants have had, do you think McAdoo is a little over his head?
Well,
I don't know. I'm speculating.
Good point. Good point. Maybe. But you know what, brother? Yeah. The guy's making, what, $7, $8 million a year or something like that? But you're making that kind of money, my brother. Come on. If you and me would do that on our jobs, I'd be fired. I play music. I work with some famous people, and I have my own band. If I suck like Buddy Rich one night, I mean, it was like if I was great like Buddy Rich and I sucked the next night, people wouldn't come to see me. And that's what these guys are just so inconsistent. And I'll tell you, the only guy that's consistent on that team, really, if you think about it, is Eli frickin' Manning. I mean, that guy, two years ago, the guy lost all four games throwing over 400 yards with no interceptions. And then the next game, the fifth game, five interceptions. That's what I'm talking about, bipolar. I'd like to know why.
If we knew the answer to that question, we wouldn't be sitting where we are.
Oh, my God.
That's the point. It makes us talk about it.
What are you guys, somebody from Long Island, what are there, how many people are there in New York? I went there last year for the last Giant game of the year, and I saved up like $2,000 just to go to the damn game, okay? I mean, I saved up all my money. I couldn't wait. Eli Manning's on the 10-yard line, pick six, Giants lose. Remember that game? Coughlin stood right in front of me. I mean, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just bad luck, but I have insight. There's got to be somebody on Long Island or New York listening to my voice that can call up and give some kind of logical explanation why these guys that are so high paid just suck one day and then they're, you know.
Well, that's what, again, we're hockey guys, we're Islander guys, and that's what we were talking about. I mean, the Islanders had their best, probably they played the best team in the NHL and played and had a 4-0 lead on them in the second period. We're totally dominating them, had a big win, and then they go to Carolina, who is in the bottom of the division, and basically lay an egg.
And you know,
they have a coach in Doug Waite who is an in-your-face, passionate, you know, in your ear coach, and you know he had to give it to him.
He needs to coach the Giants. I think that's a large problem with the Giants. With the Giants, people from New York who are listening, I really believe in the last 2 years, it's the law of diminishing returns. Willie Randolph didn't. Valentine did it. They all do it for some. Collins definitely did it. Towards the end, they just start slacking off. There's no discipline, you know.
Derek, I think you got to do some kind of a research project on this. I think if you can come up with the answer, man, you got a Nobel Prize in your future.
I play music with a famous band called The Platters, and I just worked with Betty White 5 years ago in Maroon 5 studio. You know, I can figure out music, and I can figure this thing out. What we need to do, though, is this. I have it figured out. I can tell you what to do right now. Get different people, fire their ass up. That's all. I hope I'm not cursing on the radio. I'm serious. There's no fire up with Collins. There's no fire up with, look at the old Ranger coach. For a while there was no fire. He stands there with a pookie face.
Well, the Islander coach was the same.
With pookie face.
Again, with our Islanders, it was the same thing with Jack Capuano. Exactly.
Yes.
We know it. We know it, man. I think
I was going to Islander games before you were born. I used to go to I went with them. Well, you know, I mean, I left New York.
I went. I hate to tell you, my friend, I went year one too. So, and so did John. So we are about the same age as you. So. We
I
get
love
it, Derek.
All right,
listen,
Derek. First time I've called, I'm going to start calling more often.
I hope you do, man.
For the week.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
I'll do my research for the week and all then
right,
come
man.
Back and give you guys the answer to all this.
You bet.
I'm on to something. They just need some different guys that are fired up.
Look what
Coughlin did. Look what Coughlin did with that team, and he turned that team around in the
yep.
beginning.
Well,
They hated him. But they loved him later because he got him into the playoffs.
Well, Derek, when you get the answers to it at Sports Talk 1240, let us know, man. Okay?
I will. Well, I've got halfway there, getting different people that are fired up, not little wimpy guys just diminishing returns people. That's some Sabernomics, man. There's a Sabernomics new term for you.
That's it, man.
Diminishing returns people.
All right, listen, Derek, we appreciate
right.
you calling, man. Have a great Thanksgiving, all right?
Take it easy.
You too. God bless.
All right, God bless. Take care. Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't Derek I was thinking of either.
But anyway, let's just go back to what's been going on. Obviously, you know, the Houston Astros win the World Series. I was so happy to see them to get the win. Again, if LA would have won, I wouldn't have totally been disappointed. But obviously with what happened in the city of Houston this year with everything that happened with the hurricane and the recovery, and, you know, it's a feel-good story. So, were you surprised at any of the awards that went out?
Yeah. I mean, I have to say I was kind of expecting the MVP to go to Aaron Judge.
Yeah,
I
me
just
too.
Thought that he, not that Altu didn't deserve it, but, you know, I just thought that, you know, you get this kid 52 home runs. You know, I don't know. I guess like my brother Chris, you know, the other flip side of the coin is how many times he struck out and he was kind of invisible for a long stretch of time.
Well, yes.
You know?
I mean, obviously the post All-Star game, you know,
right.
thing came up where, you know, I think he was batting like 180 over the month
right.
of August almost. And then September just all of a sudden just found another gear and just kicked in and went crazy. But, yeah, I think, looking at everybody looked at the sabermetric stats, and that's what favored Judge. Not just, you know, the fact that, you know, the strikeout numbers, but everything else was better than Altuve. But, I mean, to me, I think there's at least one or two MVPs in that kid's future. I mean, you know, the sky is definitely the limit. And when I saw him on the MLB Network the other day when they were announcing the MVP, it seemed like his persona – and the way he answered the questions on what he was going to do in the offseason, it's like he, you know, I think it was the right way to put it, that I really think he felt that his season wasn't full, wasn't complete. There was something
right.
missing. And it wasn't just the strikeout thing, which is obviously was a big hamstring into his numbers, but he was saying, you know what, I need to get faster. I need to get better at defense. I need to be able to get my throwing better. You know, he talked about everything, and, you know, and the passion that came out of his voice. I'm like, oh, man, I wish he played on my team.
Well, that's just a guy who gets it, you know. It's
yeah.
like he's not content at being where he's at. He
no.
wants to take his game to the next level. He knows what his, you know, what his faults are, quote-unquote. And he wants to improve. And, you know, that's a lesson to all these kids out there who just think they're going to sign, you know, multi-million-dollar-a-year contracts in Major League Baseball and coast.
Exactly.
You know, and this kid's got the right attitude.
Yeah. I mean, kudos to Brian Cashman for bringing him up the way he did and, you know, getting him to be the kind of player that Yankee fans will be loving for the next 15 years. I mean, You can't with between that and Sanchez as a cornerstone,
right?
You know, we've said right. it as Met fans. You know, we're not thrilled with saying it, but as baseball enthusiasts and students of the game, like we are, you know, they're reveling for the next decade if
right.
everything
Absolutely.
if health and everything goes, you know, the way it's supposed to go. Obviously, you've been gone. I don't know if you've seen the papers here, but obviously, Dave Island is now the pitching coach of the Mets. Island did coach the Yankees pitching staff in the late 2000s, went to Kansas City and was the architect of the pitching staff with the Royals that obviously won the World Series against the Mets in 2015. and he's talked to all the pitchers already, and I was very intrigued by the article that was in Newsday last week that said that Mets are looking to only have their starting pitchers face a lineup two times. Only go through the lineup twice and yank them.
That's interesting philosophy. That seems a little...
I think with the exception of one, because I think they showed, they had statistics, again, sabermetric statistics and things like that, that showed that, you know, even when they were healthy, not necessarily when they were hurt, but Harvey and Matz and DeGrom, their numbers when they got to the third time through the lineup went astronomical, with the exception of Syndergaard's, who's actually went down.
Syndergaard's just an easy move.
Well, again, without the trainer telling the guys, oh yeah, Max, whatever you want to do on the weights and everything, hopefully, you know, things will be different. But obviously, we are at the end of the baseball season, and obviously, another thing that really bothered me a couple of weeks ago is, you know, they're having that supplemental Hall of Fame induction with the modern era induction, if you will. And the one person that was left off that ballot, and again, speaking as a Met fan and speaking as a true, I think, baseball, not historian, but a person who loves the history of the game, I cannot believe that Thurman Munson was not on that list. Yes, the man tragically died early and didn't get a chance to have the full career that some of these guys like Dale Murphy and others that are on this ballot seem to have had. But, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. You know, if Thurman got to play another, you figure he died at 32. If he had another 6 or 7 years,
right?
You know, he could. You know, Piazza could have been nearly breaking his records. When he got to that level, you know, as opposed to Johnny Bench. I mean, you know, he was the ultimate catcher and the ultimate tool. I mean, a great hitter, a great defensive guy, called a fantastic game, had a gun for an arm. And was tough as nails, and demanded respect in the locker room. I mean, you know, what in that those sentences doesn't exclaim and exude Hall of Fame?
Right. You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't get these balloting things at all. It's just sometimes I'm just left shaking my head.
It's just an incredible situation. Brief score, it's 7-6, Philadelphia over Dallas, 2 minutes left in the second period. Philadelphia, 8-1, trying to go 9-1. Fantastic season for them. Carson Wentz
is amazing.
He is an unbelievable quarterback. And I love, again, it's just me that loves these kind of stories of the players that come from out of nowhere. I mean, come North Dakota. You don't consider that to be a football hotbed, you know. Maybe hockey, yes. Football,
yeah.
No. And guys that come out of a small program and do what they get to do. I mean, even, you know, think about it. Where did Jerry Rice go to, like Mississippi Valley State? You know, he came out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, guys like that. You know, you love to see those stories. You love to see those kind of things happen. And so. Again, let's just for the last 10 minutes, we'll go back into hockey. By the way, speaking of the New York Rangers, as we were talking before, the Rangers shut out the Ottawa Senators tonight, 3-0. Let's see. I assume it was Mr. Lundqvist.
Lundqvist
only 20 saves for Lundqvist. Let's see, just looking real quick. All goals were scored. One goal in the second period. Kevin Hayes had basically the game winner. Michael Grabner with his ninth, and Zibanejad scored his 10th into an empty net. So kudos to them. The Rangers are now above NHL 500 now at 10-9-2, 22 points. 2 points behind the New York Islanders with one more game played. So, again, just going back and looking at the standings right now in the Metropolitan Division, 5 points separate first from last.
That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
That's why you can't afford to squander points. And, you know, I make this point over and over again. It's like you just go on a short losing streak and you lose your focus. You're going to be out quick.
Well, the only positive thing you can take out of the schedule that the Islanders had for the beginning of the season is it was predominantly Western Conference.
Yeah.
So they weren't necessarily losing points per se. So, I mean, you're looking at what's coming up now again. Two at Philadelphia, Wednesday and Friday, Saturday night in Ottawa. Then they come back home Tuesday for the Vancouver Canucks. Then Friday night, Ottawa comes in, and then they got a four-game road trip again. It seems like they're on the road constantly. They go to Florida, Florida back to Tampa Bay, and then their first meeting with the Pittsburgh Penguins and then the Boston Bruins before coming home for actually, I think they play, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They play 7 of the next 8 at home, starting on the 11th against Washington, ending with the 27th against Buffalo. So 7 of 8 at home after that, with their one road game being a tilt against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So still got some Western Conference teams that they got to deal with. They're still dealing with they got on the homestand, Dallas comes in, L.A. comes in, Anaheim comes in, Winnipeg comes in. So I think pretty much after January, you're going to have a predominant Eastern thing. So that's going to be the time where they're going to have to really make sure that they don't lay eggs at the wrong time.
Right. And, you know, it's just my complaints. I know we didn't really get into this with Paul, but, you know, my two complaints has been the inconsistency of the goaltending and the defense at times, and their power play has just been sometimes it's good, and then sometimes it's hard. I mean, they've given up 7 shorthanded goals.
That's the scary
part.
Yeah, that's the scary part.
NHL.
Yeah, that overwhelming. I mean, because for years and years and years, this power play was on the other end of the spectrum. They were usually only giving up 1 or 2 a year, and they gave up what, 4 in 2 games.
Right.
So that's a bad thing. I think they've fixed that a little bit, but you're right. It's not been the problems that this power play has seen in the past, where it tends to be, you know, too many passes and too many things. They're moving their feet. That's been the biggest problem with this power play over the years, is that they stood still. You know, you're just passing from half board to point, to point to half board, to slot, to this, without moving around. Matthew Barzal has been, I think, a big reason for that, because he's like an Energizer bunny. He never stops moving.
Yeah, that's always
a secret to a power play. You got to keep yourself moving around, getting the defense to not get out of the box and keep moving around, following you, and you make the play, not the defense making the play for you. And you know, for a while when they had like 9 of 14 or 9 of 15 on the power play in that 3 or 4 game stretch, you know, that was an amazing feat. And then they went back and then laid 0 for 15 again.
Right, that's what I mean. It's the inconsistency, and it's like the goaltending too. The amount of goals this team is scoring in most nights. You know, they should be much better in the standings. But you know, sometimes, you know, Bryce has had his stinkers, and Halak has certainly had his stinkers. And sometimes it's not even their fault.
The game that Claire and I went to at Colorado last week. You know, they were up 6-2 with a minute left, and then boom. Kerfoot scores 2 goals in like 20 seconds, and it's 6-4, and you're wondering, oh my God, you know, are they going to really collapse? I mean, thank God it didn't. And last night, again, an example, you know, Tampa gets the 3rd goal with 4 minutes left. And again, I don't blame the defense on this game, but you have to look at it. You know, it's a team like Tampa Bay, who is the number one offensive team in the league. You know, they could, you know, could have very well did the damage and tied the game up, but, you know, thank God the defense pulled the way they did.
Yeah, it's just like I said, it's just these things need to be addressed and fixed. I mean, you know, they are playing well enough that they can make the playoffs and they can make some noise, but it's just they got to fix these problems now. You know, record a post, and it's not bad to have it at this time of season.
Well,
you don't want to see this happening in January.
And just when you say that, I got to end or start ending the show in a couple of minutes, but I want to at least make this comment. You know our good buddy Rich in Manhattan, right?
Yes.
Well, Rich came out at the beginning of the season and said, not only are the Islanders not going to make the playoffs, but they were only going to get 80 points this year. First of all, he always posts on Facebook when he stops to get something to eat, and I was wondering if they put anything in the food. you know, any like hallucinogens or something like that. Because I, you know, he's still getting on me saying, you're not going to make the playoffs. They just don't have what it takes. Look what they did today. He's telling me 2 hours ago. But you know what? This team can still make the playoffs, and I think
they
will make
the
playoffs. There's no doubt in my mind. 80 points. I would love to collect on that bet. I would love to collect on that bet because you know what? They're going to be above 80. It's going to take every bit of 95 to make it.
Yeah.
At least 95 to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be at that 95 point level if they continue the way they're going. Doug Waite is a 600 winning percentage coach, which translates to 95 to 98 points a season. So I don't think their game is going to reflectively change. You know,
right.
With all things being equal and no injuries and all that other stuff put into the equation, they're going to be there. So, Rich, you know, if you're listening to the show, buddy, I love you, man. You know, you got some great insight, and I love some of the things you say. But, man, oh, man, I am so hoping you're wrong so I can throw it in your face. So, John, in the last 2 minutes, as Paul said, Paul and I are going to be on a bus on Saturday. We leave Saturday morning at midnight. We head up to Ottawa. We're picking him up in Pennsylvania. We didn't make him come all the way down here to Long Island. We're going to pick him up on the way because we're just nice, hospitable people.
Yeah.
And so that's our post-Thanksgiving. What's going on with you? You're heading back to Long Island?
Yeah, I go to see the Sabres play tomorrow night here in Buffalo. They have Columbus, and then we head back to the island on Wednesday.
Oh, good.
So I'll be back for Thanksgiving.
Okay. Good. So definitely, John, I wish you a safe trip back.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on. I know it was, you know, not in the same aspects as normal, you know, being here in the studio in front of me, but, you know, Brian misses you, that's for sure. But, you know, I don't know when we're going to be on next, but again, the way you can contact us if you want to talk about anything that we talked about in the show, at @GHardingWGBB is my Twitter handle, obviously, at @SportsTalk1240, facebook.com/SportsTalk1240, and at @HockeyBlindside for John. And again, if you're not getting your hockey news from Paul, I don't know why.
Yeah,
again, Paul took over from us. He was with us when we started Isles Talk years ago, and he has done a tremendous job. He's got the ability to do it, and he writes a lot of great insight. And if you're not checking out Isles Talk, you really, really should. And wow, an hour goes by quick, John. I'll tell you that much.
That's true. That's definitely true.
But again,
and only one call too. So.
Only one call, and it wasn't the Derek we were thinking of.
Yeah, no, sorry, Mr. Wozniak.
Sorry, Derek in California for that. We were thinking you were somebody else. But again, if you come up with that little tidbit on how you know teams can get out of the Jekyll and Hyde mentality, I definitely want you to get back to us and check SportsTalk1240 to see when John and I are back on the air and. We will definitely talk about it again. John, again, have a safe trip back home to Long Island. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll catch you soon. All right. So
all right,
for John Panarese, this is Gary Harding on Sports Talk 1240 WGBB, West Babylon, New York, wishing everybody a great Thanksgiving. Brian, happy Thanksgiving to you and to everybody listening. In the words of my good friend Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody, and thank you from Sports Talk 1240.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.